through the book of Proverbs. Graduations are, they're just special, aren't they? They're a time of anticipation and excitement for those of you who are graduating, or some who have graduated even a little earlier. They're also a time of some trepidation as our graduates try to figure out what it actually means to move into this phase of young adulthood, headed off to college, perhaps headed to be on your own, or maybe military service, or perhaps a job. For your families, it's a time of pride, knowing that they have gotten you to this particular place successfully, and yet also a time of some fear, knowing that they cannot control the safety or success of the rest of your life. For your pastor, sermons on graduation day, well, to be honest, they're frightening. You see, one, I'm obligated by my call of God to take us all to the Word of God so that we learn from Him. That's one side. And if I do that really well, probably nobody's going to remember a thing I say because they're all focused on you. But if I don't do a good job, your parents are going to be really upset with me. So you see my dilemma, don't you? So all week long, I've been thinking to myself, Lord, what am I supposed to preach? I've thought and I've thought and I prayed and I prayed. What should I preach on such a special day as this? And then it hit me. I mean, it was like a lightning bolt out of the sky. I know I'll simply preach. Well, I'll pretend that I'm old enough maybe to have a son that would be graduating in this class. Or maybe like a daughter who's just graduated from college, and I'll just tell you what I believe the Lord would have me tell them. So that's what I'm going to do. I know it's a stretch, but I'm going to pretend as if perhaps I had a son who was in this group. So what do we say? Well, hear the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Beginning there, follow with me and remember it all of your lives. This is the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth lead you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life are in her right hand and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all of those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. It's the word of the Lord. So what are we to gain from that? Well, let me share with you a number of things that God would just speak to us about from this word. And the first one is one that as graduates and folks looking for jobs in colleges and majors is surely on your mind. Let's talk about money. Money. Money is sure on our minds these days, either as you head out to try to make money or as you think about spending money, dreading borrowing money from college. Maybe that's your parents, but money is there. What's the truth about money? What does God's word say? Well, we read in Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new money. Here's the truth. The Lord owns all wealth. He owns everything. Since God is the creator of the world, He owns everything. The psalmist simply put it this way, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's a principle that's not hard to demonstrate or hard to understand. The price of gold is up, if you keep up with that thing. It's up to record levels. Let me ask you a question. Who made the gold? And who knows where it's hidden? God. Out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, there is an oil spill. Maybe you missed it, but there is an oil spill. It is gushing oil at thousands of barrels per day. So much so that there are parts of the ocean that are now blacker than Jed Clampett's backyard. Who made the oil? Who knows where it's reserved? Obviously, God made all of it, and He owns it all. It's all His. He also made you. And anything you do and everything you accomplish is going to come as a gift of grace from God. Who gave Bill Gates the Microsoft mind? He didn't get it just by lucking into it. God blessed him with it. Or how about Warren Buffett? Who gave that man the genius to be able to invest and literally make billions of dollars? Well, God's the one who gives us our mind and our intelligence and the ability to work and the strength to carry out the day. So even though we might add to it our intelligence and our hard work, even those things are gifts from God that He's given to us. And because of that, all of life and all of life's gifts and all of life's wealth come as a gift from God, and He has allowed us to use them and made us, and here's the operative word, a steward over them, because He owns everything. Therefore, that being said, here's the best money advice anybody is ever going to give you. It's given there in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth from the first of all your produce so that your barns will be filled with plenty. It's called the tithe. I want to tell you about the tithe. What is the tithe? Well, the best deal you have ever heard. God is going to allow you to excel, and He is going to allow you to use and enjoy all of His resources. And what He wants you to do is to enjoy 90% of that, but in recognition of who gave it to you and in honor of Him, He wants you to give a tenth of that back to Him. Let me put it this way. It's a kindergarten lesson. I'm going to give every one of you 10 gumballs. Okay? 10 gumballs. Everybody gets 10 gumballs. And in recognition of the fact that they came to you as gift, I'm going to ask you to keep 9 of them and give me 1 gumball back. I'll take that deal all day long. Wouldn't you take that deal all day long? You get 9, you hand 1 back in recognition of the fact that is gift to you. That's what the tithe is. Now, many of you going off to college, I went to college, And when I was at college, I had a roommate. My roommate's name was John, as I remember it. I met John and lived with John for several weeks. And then one day, John came in after a long day at campus, and he walked in and he said to me, "My name is no longer John, my name is David." David. It seems that there were too many Johns on campus for him, and therefore he wanted to be called David. And I that was okay with me. And so now I was living with my roommate named David. Now, David wasn't actually a believer. He wasn't a Christian. He had grown up in a mainline denomination and maybe attended church a few times in his life, but he wasn't a believer in the Lord. He was an art major. That's not to say that art majors can't be Christians, but he was one of the best artists I've ever seen. In fact, on my side of the dorm room, I had a Christian poster. I don't remember which one it was, but it was a Christian poster. On his side of the room, he had one of his art pieces. And it was, to this day, one of the most realistic nudes I have ever seen in my life. I never looked. David and I rocked along through college for a year. We lived together in that dorm. And I tell you, I told you he wasn't really a believer, right? And one day, in fact, he wanted to create a system in which when we got to the room in the evening, if there was a thumbtack in the door, that meant one of us had somebody in the room for the night and the other one was to find somewhere else to stay. Your pastor rejected that thought. David also came in several months into the year, and he changed his name again. Okay, so we had been John, now we were David, and now he wanted everyone to call him, this is what college is about, guys, Dracula. Yeah. David had a black and purple cape. He had the brightest white teeth you've ever seen, long, black, beautiful hair, and tight black pants. And for the rest of our time together, me and Dracula, we roomed together. Now, I don't know where David got the idea, Dracula got the idea, but he came in one day, and knowing my walk with the Lord and all that was going on in college, he came in and he said, "I want to ask you a question. What is this thing about the tithe?" And I thought, where is this coming from? And the truth is, I don't really know where it came from, and I don't know all that took place with this, but I did the best I could to explain to him the tithe. I don't think I used the bubblegum analogy, but that God has given us everything, that he requires us to give him back 10% in honor of who he is and in worship, and God promises to bless that. Now, I don't know where all of that went and what David was asking for or what he prayed for. I don't have any idea, but I know that several months later, David walked back into that dorm room, his white teeth shining brightly, and he said to me, "Man, I got to tell you, that tithe thing works." Now, I got to tell you something. If the tithe thing works for Dracula, it's going to work for you. It's a biblical principle that goes way back before the foundation of the church. It goes all the way back to Abraham, where God says, "You want to know about money? Learn this principle. Learn the tithe." You say, "Well, I'm not sure that makes real good sense to me." Well, that's the next thing I want you to know. Certainly would want, if my son happened to be sitting in the graduates, I would want him to know. And that is about truth. According to Paul Weber, a professor of psychology at Northwestern University, writing an article in Scientific America, he says this: the human brain contains 1 billion neurons. Each neuron forms about 1,000 connections with other neurons, amounting in more than 1 trillion connections within our brain. If each neuron only held one memory, one thought, then we might run out of space, because our brains would hold, according to him, about the same amount of information as our iPods hold. But that's not what happens. Every neuron is combined with other neurons so that the neurons exponentially increase the power of the brain to hold memories and knowledge. And instead of having about a couple of gigabytes of memory in your brain, you have around 2.5 petabytes. That equals 1 million gigabytes. For comparison, if your brain, according to this professor, if your brain worked like a video digital recorder, you have enough memory capacity within your mind, enough knowledge capacity to hold 3 million hours of television shows. Now, forgive me, I don't know if that's regular or high def. But it's still a lot. He says you would have to be you'd have to leave the TV running continuously for more than 300 years to use up that storage. 300 years. Unfortunately, capacity does not equal wisdom and understanding. Today, many people feel themselves to be thinking the truth, and they think in this way, that truth is relative. What I believe is truth must be truth. Let me tell you something. That's human understanding. Hitler understood that it was okay to kill millions of Jews and other people. Americans, a century or so ago, understood it was okay to hold some men as chattel, as slavery. Some people today think it's perfectly okay to be sexually promiscuous. Now, those may be extreme examples, but they prove a point clearly that man walking in his own understanding ends up missing the wisdom of God, and that's fraught with danger and leads to sin. We are great, great at self-gratification. We are really bad at self-judgment. And so we find our lives messed up and mixed up because of our fallen nature when we come to a place where we think we can trust ourselves. God's Word has something very clear to say about that. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And here's the key, the pivotal part. Do not lean upon your own understanding. And then it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So here's what I want you to understand about truth. As important as money, more so, there are absolute truths. Absolute truths. Doesn't matter if you're talking about relationships, are you talking about money, are you talking about mathematics, are you talking about physics, are you talking about chemistry, are you talking about ethics, are you talking about faith and God. There are absolute truths in lives, and don't let anyone ever rob you of the understanding and knowledge that truth has absolute points. Who determines truth? God determines truth. Wait a minute. This one is as simple as the gumballs. If God created everything, before Him there was nothing, and all emanates from Him, then truth by its nature and definition must be defined by God. And God's Word reveals truth. Nothing else. Not our thinking, though God gives us the power to think and the logic to understand. That logic, that understanding, that thinking must be filtered through the Word of God, so that our understanding is based upon the Word of God, and we stand not upon what we think, not even upon what we know, but upon what God knows. Truth. Well, there's more I want you to hear than truth. I want you to understand about consequences. I told you about money, and I told you about truth. If you were one of my children sitting there, I would want you to know that God says there are consequences. Hear the word of the Lord. All of Proverbs 3 is about consequences. Proverbs 3:3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will," here's the consequence, "find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body." This is consequences. "And a refreshment to your bone. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that, consequences, your barns may be full. All of those are positive and wonderful consequences. I graduated from high school with almost 1,000 other students, young men and women. One of my classmates decided that summer to make up his own truth. It was a new truth about centrifugal force. Now, he should have known about centrifugal force. I grew up around Six Flags Over Georgia. And when I was growing up at Six Flags Over Georgia, they had this neat ride. It was a round room. Well, really, it was a cylinder. And you walked into this round room cylinder, and you stood up against the wall. And it began to spin as fast as it could spin. Well, I don't know. It's fast. And suddenly, you found yourself, because of centrifugal force, glued against the wall. I mean, it holds you against the wall so tightly that it'd be hard to, you know, you'd kind of go, hey. How many of y'all ever rode that ride? Let me see. Yeah, cool. And then what happens? Floor drops out from under you. And you're standing there going, hey, ain't no floor under here. It is cool. Well, my friend decided to make up a new rule about truth and centrifugal force. And in our summer between high school and college, he got on the hood of a car and held on to it as the driver sped down I-75. I don't know how fast they got going, but in that straight line, it must have been a thrill. And then, I don't know if you've driven around Atlanta, we have there some real interesting cloverleaf interchanges. And the driver slowed down, the fun was over, and he would get off one of those interchanges. And he slowed way down, you know, 35, 25 miles an hour. And he headed around that curve, and centrifugal force, well, you couldn't make up the truth. The force that held us against the wall pulled against his hands until he could not hold any longer, and he was thrown from that car to his death. He never entered his freshman year in college. Consequences from truth ignored. What you choose to view will have consequences in your life. If you choose to view that which is good and truth and think upon that which is good and true, it will have positive consequences in your life. If you choose to follow the truth of God's word revealed, God will bless you and God will keep you and you can lay your head down at night upon your pillow without worry or fear. But if you do not choose to follow the truth, then those consequences will be just as negative. Let me tell you, not only what you choose to view, but what you choose to do will have consequences. And most of the outcomes of your life, not all of them, because we live in a fallen world in which sometimes things happen we just have no control over, but God can even use those. But the vast majority of the things that will happen in your life will be as a result of the consequences of the things you view and the things you do. There are consequences. God's word tells us that truth. Let me tell you another thing that I would want you to know, and it's a very simple thing, and it is that God loves you. God loves you enough to take a personal interest in your life. I can tell you that by experience and by testimony, as I sit where you sit, and all of us, or many of us, have. God takes a personal interest. That's what the Proverbs is all about. God speaking, my son, do not forget my teaching. My son, let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. It is all about God who looks at you and says, even when you're as young as this one we saw today, even then God looks and says, but I know you, and I love you, and I care for you. Can I tell you something? If you want to know God's will in your life, God will show it to you. Relax. Because God loves you enough to take a very personal interest in you. Let me tell you something else. He also loves you enough to discipline you. If you're His, One of the most delightful verses in this, though not easy to hear, is, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." And when you find yourself hearing things or experiencing things that you recognize are God moving you away from the direction you're going and into the direction that he wants you to go, when things don't work out because of the consequences of the things you've looked at or done, understand that's God saying, "I love you, and I want the best for you, so please turn around and walk with me." God loves you so much that you know the story. He gave his only begotten son. God loves you enough to die for you. Don't ever forget it. I don't care if you're in a dorm room or an apartment building in this country or another one, just remember, wherever you are, God loves you. Let me give you another one. And this may be the most important one of all. Oh, go ahead and put it up on the screen. My wife helped with the sermon this week. Now, I tell you, it illustrates the last point, and that is relationships. Relationships. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 3 in which Solomon is becoming king. God calls him and gives him a dream, and he says to Solomon in the dream, "Solomon, tonight you can ask anything you want from me." It is a verse God showed me when I was about your age and became one of the most, I believe, important verses in all of my life. This is what it says. Solomon answered the Lord, who said, "You can have anything you want." And he said, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, and I am but a little child. I do not know how to go in or come out. So give your," here's the prayer, "so give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Help me to know people and relate to them well as their leader." That's what Solomon asked for. Listen to what God said. "It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor ask for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words, and behold, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, and none shall be like you arising after you. I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all the days of your life." Relationships. I'm going to tell you that according to God's words, relationship will make you or destroy you. Choose carefully. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother." Relationships. Who you choose, choose carefully. Who's going to walk beside you in life as a life's partner, your husband or your wife? Who is going to be your friend as you gather together in college, and where will they lead you? Choose carefully. And will you be to others true and faithful and a friend indeed of integrity and honesty, willing to choose for your own hurt if you have given your word? Will you stand on it? Relationships. That's all about this in Proverbs 3:2. Let goodness and grace not leave you. Bind them to your heart so that you will gain favor with God and with man. Relationships. Relationships will be more important than all the money in the world. It won't matter what you have amassed in life if you have lost your friends, your family, and in the process yourself. Relationships.
Congregation, have I spoken the truth? Amen? The most important relationship of all is Jesus. For he himself said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" If I had a son or daughter graduating this year, these are the exact things I'd want them to know. Will you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you for your grace and for your love. For all you have given us from the point of our conception to our birth throughout life. For the ability to think and to reason and to think reasonably, particularly about you and your word. I pray, dear Father, that these youth, though they may not remember everything I've said, will remember that they can turn to your word, even to Proverbs chapter 3, and find the wisdom of a lifetime, because it's your wisdom. But Father, every one of us is graduating today. We have left yesterday and we are headed to tomorrow. We have left the past behind and we are headed to a future. And with it, all of the opportunities, both good and bad, and all of the promises yet to be fulfilled, and all of the things that you have for us in store. So I pray, dear Father, that not only those dressed in robes today will hear, but that every ear that can hear will hear. And that we will respond to you and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with